Tonight by singing a hymn together. That would be number 38 on the hymn sheet. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he had made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. But I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The third verse reads, I know not how the Spirit moves, convicting men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. There was a man in the Bible called an evangelist. His name was Philip, and he met up with a man, as he was an Ethiopian eunuch, and this man was reading the Bible, and as he walked up to him, he saw that he was reading the Scriptures, and starting at that Scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. He had a message for that man, and that message was a person, the Lord Jesus. And with God's help tonight, we'd like to talk to you about Jesus. So let's sing together number 38. You can remain seated.
Know not why God's wondrous grace to me.
Speaking about them, but before we do, I'd like to join me in prayer for our time together. Well, there are two portions that I'd like to consider from the Bible tonight, one in the New Testament and one in the Old Testament. And as we read them, I'm sure you'll find that there are similarities in them. And we'd just like to consider them and make a few comments as we go. And the first one we'll look at is in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. You know, this is an undeniable fact that there was a man who walked on the earth whose name was Jesus. And the Word of God, the Bible, tells us many things about him. There are four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who tell us things about his life that they witnessed. And Mark here, he wasn't one of the apostles, but he is one that was led by the Spirit of God to pen for us some of the accounts of the things that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus. So read in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. That's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? These disciples had the privilege of walking with the Lord Jesus when he was here on the earth, and to accompany him in his journeys and to witness the miracles that he performed and to hear those things that he spoke about when he was here. And they had a wonderful privilege. What we find here as they were involved in this account here in Mark's gospel, that there were things they were ignorant of as to his person. So they knew something about him. But here, when they experienced this account on the sea through the tempest, they had a question as to who he really was. And I wonder tonight if there are those in this room who have questions about who this person really is, whose name is Jesus. Our brother yesterday took us through many scriptures to show us in the Word of God that he was very man. He was a real man, yet more than just a man. Also God manifest in the flesh. So here's their question. What manner of man is this? Do you know a man? Do you know a human being that the wind and the sea obey him? Do you know a man that the wind and the sea obey him? You know, we spend a lot of time in North America concerned about the climate and what kind of weather we're going to have tomorrow, and it's going to be minus 20 or plus 20, depending on the season, rainy or sunny. But you know, anybody that can come there and write the newspaper and say, tomorrow I'm going to give you sunshine and I'm going to... Nobody does that. But here is a man. They knew he was a man. They talked with him. They ate with him. They traveled with him. They touched him. The Apostle John says, our hands have handled. They touched him. John, he rested his head on the bosom of that man called Jesus, the Lord Jesus. What manner of man is this? Well, he's no ordinary man. Because no other man, the sea and the wind obey him. He's a special man. Actually, you know, I'll tell you a secret. I know a lot of you know the secret. But this man called Jesus is actually God. God manifest in the flesh. Not only the wind and the waves obey him, the sun, the moon, the stars, the whole universe obeys him. It tells us in the epistle to the Colossians that he upholds all things. But, I'm sorry, that's in Hebrews chapter 1. He upholds all things by the word of his power. This man called Jesus sustains the universe by his power. Doesn't do that as man, he does that as God. But he's very God and very man. What manner of man is this? We'd like to talk to you tonight about this man called Jesus, who's also God manifest in the flesh. Now, these disciples went through an experience with the Lord there in that boat. When the wind came up and the waves got pretty high and the water started coming into the boat, there he was. God, we could say, sleeping on the pillow in the ship. You think God could perish in that ship? Impossible. Was it possible for these disciples to perish in that ship while the Lord Jesus, God manifest in flesh, was in the boat with them? Impossible. But you know, the Lord tested their hearts. You know, you wonder, he's the Lord of the universe. Because we're going to cross over to the other side here, so I'm going to give you a nice calm sea, and the wind's going to blow just the right way, and we'll have a nice journey, a nice traveling journey. That's not what the Lord allowed. The Lord allowed a tumultuous journey where they would be tried, and they would fear for their lives, and they would suggest to the Lord this question that perhaps has come up in your heart. And it has come up in my heart before I knew who this man really was. What was the question that they put to him? The end of verse 38. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Ever feel like asking that? Doesn't God care about what's happening? We had in the news earlier this year that tsunami. 300,000 people, they say, perished there. Doesn't God care? We look at things from our perspective. Things happen to us, and we get into dire circumstances, and we say, doesn't God care? Oh, yes, he cares. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They didn't really understand the depth of that question, you know. Because this was just a little storm on a little sea. There's a bigger storm on the horizon. It's a terrible storm. It's actually the storm of God's judgment, because God is going to judge this world. He is very patient. He allows things to go on for years and centuries and even millenniums. But there's a day appointed when he's going to judge the world. And when he introduces this judgment, it's going to be through a lot of serious trials and difficulties. There's such a thing in the Bible as the wrath of God. But he cares for you. He cares for me. He cared for these disciples in the ship. And he manifested his power by just one word. Peace be still. And the elements obeyed him. The sun obeys him. The moon obeys him. The universe obeys him. The wind, the waves obey him. In fact, everything obeys him save one creature. You. Me. Man, the creature he made is in his own likeness and image. The epitome of his creation. The only creature that dares disobey him. That's you and I. And if we pursue this path of disobedience in the face of God, what is waiting for us is perishing forever away from God. The Word of God warns us about that. In this little picture here, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Of course he cared. And they did not perish. And he calmed their fears right away. He silenced the wind and the sea right there. What did it do to them? They said, what kind of man is this? No ordinary man. This is the Lord of glory. And he's going to calm for them as he's calmed for me. And he's calmed for many in this room. That awful tempest of God's judgment who is coming on this world. Does he care about this world? Oh, he cares about this world. Every soul in this world he loves. Every soul in this room he loves and he cares for. Do you know that? That the Son of God tonight cares for you. He cares for everyone in this room. Maybe you don't care for him, but he cares for you. I'd just like to look at that passage in the Old Testament that I mentioned before. And we're going to read that in the book of Jonah. As we read in the first chapter of the book of Jonah, we'll just read quickly the first 16 verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for what cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Well, I'm sure you've seen some of the parallel here with our account in the New Testament. There's another ship here and another tempest, and here's a man again sleeping in the boat, and here are those in the boat afraid, and they're afraid of perishing. You know, this book, the Bible, is a wonderful book. It's a book written by the Spirit of God. God himself wrote this book. He had different men hold a pen for him, but he wrote the book himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we have here an account of one called Jonah, a prophet, who the Lord himself likened unto him. The Lord said, as Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, that the Son of Man would also spend 3 days and 3 nights in the bosom of the earth, speaking of his death and resurrection. Well, here's this account here of Jonah. And here's in the boat, and there's a storm, and he knows how to settle the storm. When the disciples were in the boat with the Lord Jesus, oh, he knew how to settle the storm. Just had to say one word. Everything obeys him. And the wind obeyed him and the waves obeyed him. But we find in this account here that it wasn't a question of asking the sea and the waves to obey, because Jonah wasn't the Lord, but he's a picture of for us of how the tempest of God's judgment can be spared to these mariners. If I ask you the question, they tried to row and row and row as hard as they could, and they couldn't. It was just getting worse. There was no way out of that storm save what Jonas had given them as to the means that by which they could not perish. What if they had not taken Jonah and cast him into the sea? Well, I believe from this account that they would have perished. They would have perished. And I would tell you, dear ones, tonight, I don't know where you stand before God tonight. But if tonight you're not listening to the pleadings of the Spirit of God with your soul, and you don't do what God would have you do tonight so your soul can be saved, and you put it off till you cross over in eternity, the Word of God assures you you're going to perish forever away from God. And this is not what God wants for you. Did God want these mariners to perish? No, he didn't. How did this trouble happen? Well, in our account here, all this trouble came upon them because of Jonah's disobedience. You know, as men and women, children too, in this world, there are consequences in our lives due to things that were done in the past. And if you read the account in the Bible, you'll find that there was one called Adam and Eve, and they were in a paradise that God had given them to enjoy, and they disobeyed God. You know, if we go to Genesis chapter 3, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the account. When God spoke to Eve, verse 13, I just want to use this question. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? What did she do? Well, her husband had done too, because she asked him to. She had disobeyed God. God had said there was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, and God said, don't eat of that. That garden was full of beautiful trees and fruit and all you could imagine for the delight of their soul, for their enjoyment, and the enjoyment of each other too. There was one condition to their continuing in happiness forever, was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he asks her, what is this that thou hast done? And the answer is, I've disobeyed. Have you ever disobeyed God? What is this that you have done? I know what Eve did, and we know what Jonas did. What did Jonah not do? Jonah disobeyed God also. God said, go to Nineveh. It's something he was supposed to do. Eve was something she wasn't supposed to do. But Jonah was something he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it. Now you answer in your heart. Can you stand in the presence of God tonight and say, I've never done something I shouldn't have done, and I've done everything that I should have done? Want to raise your hand? I'm not going to raise my hand. There are many, many things I should have done and I haven't done. And I shouldn't have done that I've done. God will put the question to you and me tonight. What have you done? These men asked Jonah, says, why? What did you do? Why is God so upset at you? We know God tonight is not upset at you. He loves you. But the God of the Bible, the one who made the universe, he hates sin. Do you believe sin makes people happy? Disobeying God, is that making you happy? Doing your own will, is that making you happy? I know many people tonight here would witness to you that they found happiness in being convinced, convicted in their soul of sin and of having done wrong and of deserving the punishment of God and receiving the wonderful, the beautiful good news from the Word of God of salvation, free salvation, forgiveness from God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I are in the same boat. Just like those mariners with Jonah. We're all in the same boat. And you know, imagine you would have been there. And you were faced with this decision to physically take this man, Jonah. He was guilty. All this trouble they were having was his fault. Yet they said, we just can't throw him in the water like that. They tried all they could to save him. They couldn't. And finally, they had to take him and cast him overboard. I wouldn't have liked to have to do that, you know. But you know, Jonas here, he's a contrast with the Lord Jesus. Because you know, the Lord Jesus, he never did anything he wasn't supposed to do. And he did everything he was supposed to do. The only perfect man. Never disobeyed, couldn't disobey. His delight was to do his Father's will. If you read of the life of the Lord Jesus, you find something wrong in his life. There's nothing wrong in his life. It's a perfect life. Anything wrong with your life? You answered that. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you. Includes me, everyone in this room, everyone in this world. And God loves the whole world. And he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Wonderful message from the Word of God. But the sad thing is the whole world is not going to get saved. But God sent his Son so the whole world could get saved. And you know, tonight, if you're here and you're hearing the gospel, maybe you've heard it many times before. Maybe it's the first time. Doesn't matter. You can get saved tonight. This is what God wants. He wants to bless you so much. You read what Jonah said. Verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. I'm going to go in the tempest, and you're going to be all right. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. He was going to go and suffer the tempest, the waves, the coldness of the sea, and they were going to be all right. Because it was my fault, Jonah said, if this tempest is upon you. I want to tell you tonight about a more terrible storm that happened in this world some 2,000 years ago when that man called Jesus. We took him. We blindfolded him and we punched him. And we crowned him with a crown of thorns and we spit in his face. Scourged him, whipped his back, and nailed him on a piece of wood. And we lifted him up on that piece of wood between heaven and earth. And then when he was there, we mocked him. That very one who could calm the sea with one word, the one who upholds the universe by the word of his power, we dared to treat him in such a way. And when he was hanging on that cross, it tells us there were 3 hours of darkness. And in those 3 hours of darkness, there was a tempest upon the soul of the Lord Jesus, the likes of which has never been before and never will be again. When he was made a sin offering, when his spotless soul suffered what you and I deserve forever. If I could paraphrase this, changing the words of Jonah in our chapter here, we could say, for we know that it is because of us that this great tempest has come upon you. Do you know tonight that the agony and anguish of soul of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was for you? Oh, I tell you, I thank God tonight that it was for me. And I know many in this room will tell you, oh, it was for me also. But I want you to know, if you're in this room tonight, it was for you too, if you'll have it. If you'll have him as your Savior. Perhaps you would have been in that boat, and you would have said, I just can't throw Jonah in the water. You would have maybe leaned against the railing or shy away in a corner. Tonight, you can't shy away in a corner. You can't go and hide. You have to take a decision tonight about the Lord Jesus. You don't have to take him with your hands. We already did that. Our hands have handled him, and when we did, we weren't very kind with him. We handled him pretty roughly. He wasn't loved by anybody, you know. Even his disciples, they cared for him, and they loved him, I'm sure, but they all forsook him. Here's a man who never did anything wrong. All his friends forsook him. Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And Peter, energetical Peter, full of energy, Lord here and Lord there, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they asked him, do you know this man? Well, I don't know. 3 times they asked him. And 3 times he denied the blessed one called Jesus. Well, I can tell you tonight, dear ones, I'm going to tell you to your face. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Is he your Savior? He died for me on the cross of Calvary. Did he die for you? I was 27 years old when I heard the gospel and I received that wonderful salvation that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me on the cross of Calvary. He didn't just die for me. He died for you too. Will you have him tonight? You know, there was a time in the Old Testament. It was Genesis chapter, I think we read that this morning, chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. The end of verse 28. Just use the last part of that verse because here's a man, he went into Egypt and he bought some things and he was going back home, and when he opened up his bag, he found his money there. And he was just astonished. And this is what he said. What is this that God had done unto us? Imagine what we should say tonight. What is this that God has done unto us? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what God has done. He took the one that was always obedient, the one that always did those things that he wanted him to do, who never did anything that God didn't want him to do, the perfect man. He took him and he gave him for you. He gave him for me. So I could be saved. So I could be on my way to heaven. So I could be spared the perishing that we have in this picture in the book of Jonah. Dear ones, tonight, maybe this is the last time there'll be a gospel meeting. And if it was, it might be your last opportunity to just open up your heart to the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes people say, well, this is how you have to do it. You pray this. I don't know how the Spirit of God works, but he works in souls, you know. And we just get a response in our heart to the message concerning the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the whole gospel is about. It's a person, not any ordinary man. God manifest in the flesh, and the work that he did on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross. He rose again the third day. And after he went up to heaven, some 50 days later, the Spirit of God came down. And the apostles and disciples since that time have been telling the world about this man called Jesus. Yes, he calmed the sea with a word, so the disciples did not perish in the boat. But he could not calm the tempest that you and I deserved because of our sins by just one word. He couldn't save your never-dying soul from being lost just by saying a word or two. To save your soul, to save my soul, he had to go to the cross of Calvary. He had to go through the judgment of God that you and I deserve. You know, God is a righteous God. He's a just God. You know, if you think of somebody having a debt, he owed some money. If somebody owed me some money, let's say he owed me $1,000. We spoke of that this afternoon in Matthew chapter 18. Man who owed 10,000 talents, you know, some millions of dollars, you know. But if you just owed me $1,000 and I said, I'm a nice guy, forget about it. Don't worry. I've forgotten about it. This other fellow owes me $1,000. Hey, you better pay me up. You know, I send people to come over and I want the money. I'm nice with this fellow, but I'm not too nice with this other one. That's not being fair, is it? That's not being just. But God is just. When he forgives you your sin, he's just. He's a perfect accountant, you know. His books balance. God's books always balance. You and I have a debt toward God because of our sins. And God is willing to forgive you your sins. Now, if somebody comes up to me and says, Brother so-and-so here, he owes you $1,000, doesn't he? Yes, he does. And the person takes out 10 $100 bills, and he gives me 10 $100 bills. And he says, he doesn't owe you anything anymore? No, he doesn't. And I say, your debt is gone. You don't have a debt. You didn't pay it. Somebody else came and paid. And the account is, you're not owing me anything. Well, this is how God forgives sin. Somebody has to pay the debt. And it's one of two persons that will pay your debt. Either the Lord Jesus pays for it by his work on the cross, or you're going to pay for it yourself. And I wouldn't want to pay for mine myself. And if God can bring you to see the things in your life that are displeasing to him, and that deserve his punishment. But maybe he could press you tonight to say, why don't you come to Jesus? I'll forgive you everything. He can pay for everything. There was a man on one of the crosses when the Lord Jesus was crucified. There was a man beside him. He was a criminal. The two of them were criminals, really. And it tells us in the Gospels that both of them, they railed on him. But there's a man there that had a change of heart. He heard something, I believe it's in Luke's gospel, from the lips of the Lord Jesus. You know, the disciples, they heard him say, peace be still. And everything happened there. The storm was stopped. He said, what manner of man is this? Well, this man on the cross who was crucified, he was a thief. And he had been judged by men as being guilty of capital punishment. This man heard words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus also. And these were the words that the Lord Jesus spoke. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness? Had the world forgiven this guilty man? You know, the world today, in our world, we have our own way of handling justice. You know, people get into prison for murder and they come out maybe 8 or 10 years later and they kill again. That's how we deal with crime in man's administration. Some men abuse children and they go in the jail there and they spend a little bit of time and they come out later and new children start disappearing till they find out where this guy lives now and he started killing people again. God can forgive anything. But this man here, he was condemned. He said, we receive, the Jew reward of our sins. We did things wrong, and men have administered us, and they found us guilty. And, you know, we're not innocent. But this man had done nothing amiss. This one has never done anything wrong. You've done things wrong. I've done things wrong. These men have done things wrong. But this one on the center cross had never done anything wrong. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this man on the cross, he heard forgiveness. And you know what he did? You can read it for yourself in Luke's gospel. He turned to the Lord Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He never heard a gospel message. He didn't know much. But he met up with that person called Jesus. And he heard words that baffled his understanding. Can you think of anybody after we treated him like that and we spit in his face and we mocked him, that he wouldn't call out God's vengeance, God avenge me of mine enemies? Father, forgive. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this man said, there's forgiveness with God. Yes, there is. And he just said, Lord. He recognized him as Lord. Remember, you do anything for me? I don't know what his thoughts were. He said, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom? Maybe he's, can you do something for me? Oh, can he do something for you? He can bring you right to heaven. And that's what he did with that man. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And you know, when that soldier came and he found that the Lord Jesus already had died, he broke the legs of these two malefactors. And that man, that day, went into paradise with the Lord Jesus. What did he ever do right? Well, I know he did one thing right. And you can do the same. He called upon the name of the Lord. He called Jesus Lord. And he asked him to do something for him. Well, you know, tonight we know so much more about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, because the Word of God gives us abundant testimony now to what God has for you and I. But tonight, you can call upon the name of the Lord. Tonight, you can have the assurance from the Word of God that you're on your way to heaven. Not because you're good, because we're all bad. Not because you never did anything wrong. You have done things wrong. Not because you've done all you're supposed to do. There's a lot of things we didn't do we're supposed to do. But because there's a Savior called Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. A Savior that did a work on the cross of Calvary to satisfy the heart of God forever for anyone who will put his trust in him. Now, I don't suppose there's anybody in this room as bad as this man who was condemned for crime and had capital punishment. He went straight up into the presence of the Lord. How did he get rid of his sins? What about all these terrible things that he'd done on the earth? Well, we have a few verses here in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Epistle of Peter chapter 2. And verse 24, that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says here, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's on the cross. He bore some sins. He didn't have any of his own. He was a perfect man. He could not sin. He never sinned. There was no sin in him. Yet when he was on the cross, he had some sin on him. It wasn't his sins. I tell you, he had my sins on him. I tell you, he had the sins of that man that asked him that day to remember him. He had the sins of that man. He had the sins of many, many, many in this room and many, many in this world. And the question I have for you tonight is when he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Did he bear yours? Well, you still have yours. I don't have mine anymore. I'm guilty of them. I've been convicted. I'm a guilty, lost sinner. That's what I was. I deserve God's punishment. Just like Jonah, he deserved to be punished for his disobedience. But somebody else was punished in my stead. My sins are gone. That's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The last part of verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, the last part of verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know that verse in Peter? He says, our sins in his own body on the tree. He says here, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I would love to say tonight that he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. God would love to be able to say tonight that he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. God would love for you tonight to say, to be able to say that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed you from all sin. There's just a little something there that needs to be done for it to be true of you too. What could it be, do you think? If you were convinced tonight that you were guilty, that you had done things before God that needed to be repaired or you needed to be punished for, and God said, okay, we can settle that tonight. I just have one thing for you to do. Would you be ready to do it? You know, there was a man in the Bible. He was a leper. And the man of God said, you go in Jordan there, you wash seven times, and you're going to be clean. And he was an important man. And he said, you know that man, he was called Naaman. A lot of you young people, you know him. He was going away. He was upset. It was too simple. If God had told him, if the man of God had said to this man, oh, you got leprosy, eh? Well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get the biggest pack sack you can think of, and you're going to fill it with rocks, and you're going to walk up to the highest mountain you can find, and you're just going to work your way up there. When you get to the top, and then I'm going to heal you. I'm going to make you whole. Well, you know, if you look at what happened on the cross of Calvary, when the Son of God was made sin for you and I, any pretension you and I could have to do away with our sins is an insult to God. After what he has done to save your soul, what is this that God has done unto us? He gave his only Son. What can he give more? What else can he do for you? What do you want him to do for you? You know, as natural men, you know what we want God to do for us? We want to be a God that's infinitely good, that just looks the other way. So, oh, they're failing creatures, and, you know, make the best of it. Well, God is not like that. Is this world that we live in a world of happiness? Is this world in which we live in a world where there's no distress, no tears, no crying, no suffering? You know as well as I do, it's not true. Those who work in hospitals with the sick and the elderly, they'll tell you. A suffering place. Why is it like that? Well, the Bible tells us why it's like that. Because we're estranged from God. When the Lord Jesus was here, all the lame, the sick, the blind, the deaf, they're all healed. If he was still here, we wouldn't have any hospitals. Those of you nurses, doctors, you have to find another job. This is a reality. Now, the God of the Bible, he's patient, he's long-suffering, he's gracious, but he hates sin. And he's always going to hate sin. He's not going to change. You and I have to change. We have to listen to what he says. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if tonight, my friend, you say, I'll think about it. There must be some other way. Maybe I'll get a pack sack and fill it with good deeds. Maybe I'll start going to church. Maybe I'll start reading the Bible. Maybe I'll start praying every day. Reading the Bible is a good thing. Praying every day is a good thing. Won't get you into heaven. Won't take your sins away. God has one way to take your sins away. We read it, 1 John chapter 1. There's a man called Jesus Christ. He became a man so he could shed his blood to satisfy the holiness of God forever because of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, people say, oh, this is too violent, you know. The blood, having our sins washed in blood, that's terrible. They can watch blood on television. They can watch the worst things in the world. But this is the Word of God. And when we're done tonight, I might not have done a very good job at it, but it still is a message from God. And you can ask others to show you verses from this wonderful book, which is the Word of God, and they'll assure you from its pages, there's no other way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you have another way? Well, if you have another way, if this world has another way to get to the Father, the Lord Jesus is wrong. Because he says he's the only way. There's no other way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, just before we close. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. If you look up to the 10th verse, you'll find that it's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the name. That's the person. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Tonight, dear ones, when you leave this room, I trust you'll be safe forever. I pray to God that tonight you know this blessed one, the Lord Jesus, as your personal Savior. Perhaps you've never heard it before. Perhaps you've heard it tonight for the first time. Doesn't matter. You can have him yours tonight. Now, many of you young children here, you've heard it many, many times. And you can quote these verses by heart. But between, you know, bearing our sins in an own body on the tree and bearing your sins in his own body on the tree, there's a little something missing there. Do you have that little something that's missing? Do you know what it is? Children, you know what it is? How do these things become yours? How do you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Putting your trust in him. Tonight, you can say in your heart, doesn't have to tell me, you can say, Lord Jesus, save me. You can ask him tonight. Don't tell anybody else. You don't have to. Lord Jesus, save me from my sins, please. Did you hear me? Lord Jesus, save me from my sins. Maybe you didn't hear me. But Jesus hears you. He's going to hear you and say, oh, he's got his pen ready there, and he came into the world to save sinners. He has a book there, and he writes name in his book. And he says, oh, I want to take him. All these boys and girls, I want them in heaven. Can I write your name down tonight, please? Can Jesus be your Savior tonight, older one? Please, 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 don't put it off. What's coming for this world is terrible, dear ones. You read the book of Revelation, there's judgment coming. You don't have to be part of it. You don't have to bear it. He took it all on the cross for you, for me. And tonight he's writing names in the book of life. My name's there. Many, many names here are there. Is your name there? If your name is there in his book of life, he took your sins in his own body on the tree. His blood cleanses you from all sin. You put your trust. If you say, Lord Jesus, save me tonight, say it in your heart. Maybe you want to tell somebody after. You'd be so happy to know that he's your Savior. And you know, the Son of God, he has such joy when a boy, a girl, a man, or a woman says, oh, Lord Jesus, save me. Is it possible? Grown man, 57 years old, needs a Savior. Oh, I need a Savior. I need him to take me to heaven. And I need him moment by moment because he lets me breathe. He can take my life like that. He can take your life like that. How long is he going to plead with you? Anybody you know been gone into eternity recently? We don't know how long we're going to be here. And we know from the Word of God, all of a sudden, something terrible is going to happen. Something wonderful for us. The Lord Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take the believers out of the world. That's going to happen in a moment. It's not going to be during a period of a month taking applications. Say, okay, train's going to leave in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 weeks. No, no. Twinkling of an eye, the Lord Jesus is going to come. And if you're ready, you'll be taken up to be with him in the Father's house. And if you're not ready, just like they knocked on that door, those virgins in Matthew 25, it was too late. It's not too late right now. So tonight, dear ones, imperfect messenger, but it's a perfect message. A perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You just put your trust in him tonight. You haven't ever, do it tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. And he will. He's promised that. Let's just bow in prayer. Our God and our Father, we just thank thee. Thou just love us and us love this world so much. And we just confess to thee. We never value it enough. To think of that blessed one, the Lord Jesus, and his perfect life and all that good that he did when he was here, and yet we just